No, I didn't do it right. Hang on. All right, here we go. I was talking too much, and I let it go too long. So please excuse me, fans, but we're good now. I've got Mike Larson with me. If you remember Mike, Mike ran for in the primary for state representative. Is that right? State representative?
No, for Congress.
For Congress, yes. He was going to run against Jim Jordan, and he succumbed to Shannon Fresh Hour. And a great guy. He and I pretty much on the same page politically. And those of you who listen to my show, you can turn it off now if you don't want to hear another liberal, because Mike is relatively liberal like I am. And welcome to our new digs, Mike. I'm sorry it isn't so beautiful, but it works.
Oh yeah, no, it works. And I don't know how much radio you have been around the country, but radio stations are rarely fancy. Very often it's a brick building on the bottom of a tower.
Yeah.
So yeah,
right. Well, and I've been in radio since I was 16.
Right.
So, yeah, I've been in all those brick buildings.
Yeah, so I'm used to following. No, every now and then you're at, you know,
the wooden shed that they built at the bottom.
Right, yeah.
Well, and we've had problems. When we switched over about a month ago, we were having problems at the bottom of our tower. And but now we've got a really good sounding signal, and it's really strong. So
yeah,
we've got a lot of people.
It's an important thing.
You know what we found out, though? It's not so much important to how strong your local signal is, but how strong your worldwide signal is. We're listened to worldwide
now. Online,
online.
Right. Yeah.
People can go to our website, click on Listen Live, and they can. I had a person listening to me from Barcelona, Spain, about three or four weeks ago when I had one of my friends on who was a very famous distance runner from the 70s.
Oh, really?
And, we've had people from California and North Carolina, all over the place.
Who was the runner?
The John Tuttle.
And, oh, sure.
And John was held the world record. In
Tuttle, was he the guy who wore the cap when he ran?
I don't know.
Okay.
He did. Every picture I've seen of him running,
I think he did. I think he wore like a baseball cap and was the only guy who ever did that back then.
He and I got kind of tipsy one night at my son's vineyard, and I had to admit to him after we did that, we sat and drank my son's wine, and the next day, my son said, did you know John? And I said, well, no. But he introduced himself, told me he used to be a runner. He said he didn't used to be a runner.
Right.
He owned the records.
Yeah.
Out in California when distance running was big. And so I called him back up and I said, I didn't know I was supposed to genuflect when you came into the room.
Right. Yeah, he was an Olympian.
No. He ended up seventh.
Okay.
So he didn't make the cut to go to the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
But he was a world team.
Right.
Yeah, but he didn't make it to the Olympics. Yeah. Anyway, so we talked about that for a long time. And the reason why we had a guy from Barcelona listening to us is it was his old roommate.
Oh, okay.
But still, people listen all over the place. Well, you've got a new project going on, and we got to be careful. We can't sell anything on here. So we've already talked about that. But I'd like you to talk about what this new project is that you're doing.
Oh, I'm really excited to be doing a series of shows at a gorgeous theater down in Bellefontaine in Logan County, the Holland Theater. And if people have never been there, or maybe they were there years ago before it was restored, it's a gorgeous theater built in the late 20s, I think, with what they called an atmospheric theater, where they have a scene inside. So this is the Holland Theater, so it has these windmills that actually turn that are inside the theater, and the roof is like the ceiling is like the sky, kind of like going to a Disney ride or something.
Yeah,
like the palace here. Yeah.
I wonder if it was done by the same architect.
It may have been around the same time.
And the ceiling, you look up the ceiling and the sky moves.
Oh, I bet it's probably that. I'm sure there weren't that many guys in Ohio around then. But it's a great old theater, and they just did a complete refurbish and won all these awards, and then COVID hit.
Thank you, COVID,
and they've been dark. So We are doing a show. It's called The Roots Comedy Ramble. It is a stand-up comedy show, but a little more than that. We also have a house band on stage with us. But we're doing these three great comics from around the country coming in, and then after their performance, we're going to kind of throw it open to kind of a free-for-all to talk about comedy in general, about what our influences were. It should be a lot of fun.
That's kind of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because I would really like to get to know how you met these two that are going to be on with you. And by the way, did you have to get a band so that you could do rim shots?
That's funny. I actually had a conversation with someone in the band about fighting the urge to enter the Comedians Act unless they want it. Now, feel free to ask them. You know, sometimes, I mean, I don't mind myself. I'll have fun with the band if they do something. But I have worked places where the drummer felt necessary, and it's like, the rim shot isn't, that comment isn't, that's a good one. The rim shot is, that's a bad, that was lame.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we talked about this yesterday on my show with Scott, who's our station manager. Anyway, Scott and I were talking about it, and I pointed out that I had been on stage with Jimmy Durante. You're younger than I am. Not a lot, but some. And so you may not have ever seen Jimmy, but Jimmy required rim shots.
Oh, I'm sure. I know. I remember growing up with him on television, obviously. Yeah. And
Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Mrs. Calabash, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I grew up on television watching guys like Jimmy Durante and Red Skelton and that kind of whole generation of
great. Great talents, those
guys. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. So part of this idea of this show is to kind of celebrate what is a very American art form, which is stand-up comedy.
Is that right?
It was started in America, and the difference is, of course, every country had storytellers. America, and really Artemus Ward, who at the time was, I think, the editor of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, he's often considered to be the first stand-up comedian.
Really?
He's the guy, Mark Twain said, I learned everything from Artemus Ward. So, but he was the first guy who billed himself as funny. Whereas before, you would go tell a story or you do a song and dance, and the jokes were kind of throwaways.
Yeah, kind of a deadpan act.
Right, and that way you don't, you know, in general, if you don't tell people you're funny before you're funny, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, hey, here's a really good joke. No, just tell the darn joke, you know. But that was kind of the first thing to actually bill someone around, you know, these, and then the vaudeville acts came on, and even among vaudeville, there were very few straight comedians who didn't also tap dance or do something else. But it is
a lady take her clothes off.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there are so many things America is blamed for stealing from other cultures. This is one we own.
So are all three of you
stand-up comedy?
Stand-up comedians?
Yeah, so there's three other comics on the bill with me.
Oh,
so
three
me
others.
And three others. Jeff Jenna, who is one of the best comics on the road and around. He's been around a long time. He lives in Ohio now, but he's from Kentucky. Just one of the best, and has been on pretty much every late night show you can do, I think. A guy named Brett Eastburn from Indiana, who is fascinating and very. Brett was born with no arms and legs. As he likes to say, I was born with no arms, no legs, and no handicaps.
I've seen him, yeah.
He was a high school wrestling champion. He plays pool. He hunts. Just awesome. He's an inspiration. And regardless of any disability, he's just flat out funny. And then the third person is Tiffany Barber from Detroit. She bills herself as a retired hood rat. She's really very funny. In fact, I can give Tiffany the greatest compliment from a comedian is that she went on before me once at a club in Detroit, and I was backstage sweating bullets because she was killing. She was just every joke was landing, and I was the friend of mine who booked me. He's like, why do I gotta follow her? So she's great. I cannot wait.
Did you make it past that?
I did okay. It's safe to say our acts are different from each other's.
I would think.
Um, No, it was great, and she is, and the idea there was to get this very this difference of not only type of person, but just their whole tradition from comedy. How'd they start? Where'd they get there? You know, most of us, when we start anything, we're trying to copy our heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's, you know, I remember Little League Baseball, I used to flap my arm like Joe Morgan when I got up the bat because, yeah. You know, I thought that would turn me into Joe Morgan.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. But that's kind of the conceit of this show, then, is to not only have comedians, but then to kind of talk a little bit about where the comedy comes from, what our influences were.
And it's kind of the way you were talking when you first got here before we were on the air. It's kind of a benefit to raise up those old theaters.
It is, yes. This came from a conversation with Chris Westhoff, the general manager of the Holland Theater. Like I say, they did this huge restoration and then went dark. But normally they have pretty big acts. They have, fairly well-known acts, and it's all American music, everything from country to folk to reggae, but it's a 600-seat theater, and they're used to filling it, and mm-hmm. they can't now because of COVID. We're lucky that we get to open a little bit at 25%.
Yeah.
And so for 25%, it's hard for them to bring in an act, a band from out of town.
They can't pay for the lights, yeah.
Right. So this was a way of us saying, well, let's help out the theater. Let's get it back on the map. Remind people that they have this incredible treasure in their town.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, on the other hand, is the comedians. You know, entertainers aren't working either. So yeah. A lot of my friends, who had this weekend open, I was able to entice them to come on out and play with me for a night, and I'm really looking forward to it. This has been in the works for months and months.
Okay.
From before the time he could even open his doors. We're like, eventually they're going to allow you to open the doors. Let's have something ready for him.
Well, now, that the very first thing I thought of when you got in touch with me and told me you were doing this and you'd like to come on, the very first thing I thought of is he's been not doing anything for a long time. How's he getting his chops back? How did he get that back?
You don't, right? I mean, you, it helps that I'm a wise ass in my real life as well.
And I will attest to that.
But you know, what's interesting, when you lay off, and I've done over the last year, I've done maybe 10 or 11 kind of shows on Zoom or whatever, you know. I've done some very distant, when you lose practice, what you lose is kind of the connective tissue between mm-hmm. stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I know my stories, I know my jokes, but
it
maybe the little
well.
Aside to someone in the audience that you tend to lose, but where you gain is you get new stuff, uh-huh. which maybe you didn't use before because you were just programmed into your act and you were doing it the same as you did it the night before. So
I can't imagine you're not going to have some stuff on COVID. Or at least one.
Right?
Of the four.
Oh, yeah. They. In fact, I was joking that everyone had a dilemma when it came to the vaccine, what to do. And, when I heard 60-year-olds were able to get the vaccine, my first thought is that, I've been telling people I'm 55 for years, so I'm going to just wait till 55-year-olds can get it, rather than have to go back and explain that to everybody.
Even if it kills me.
Right. Yes, had I gotten it in that period, that would have been...
Now everybody can have them.
That's
right?
Pretty much,
yeah.
Which is good.
Well, I'm glad you've gotten yours, and we are both, by the way, to the fans that are listening, both of us have gotten our second shot, and both of us are at least 2 weeks out.
So that's right. We shared a nice sloppy kiss when I got here.
Oh, great. Now, honey, if you're listening, oh, me. Well, now, so We are going to give away a pair of tickets.
Yes, pair of tickets to let's say it's the Roots Comedy Ramble. It's at the Holland Theater in Bellefontaine tomorrow night at 7:30. The theater wants me to explain that it's we're at 25% capacity. The seats have been separated from each other, so they're in pods. So if you're a party of four, you're here and you're separated. So we're giving away a pair of tickets.
Yeah.
For tomorrow night at 7:30, and I should also add that tomorrow is also the Bellefontaine Downtown Association, their night where all the restaurants where people do a bar crawl kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that'll be going on beforehand, and if you haven't been out there in a while, they have some nice, fairly new restaurants in Bellefontaine.
It's hard to believe, but I've never been to Bellefontaine.
Oh, really?
I pronounce it Bellefontaine.
Yes, well, we were going to talk about that a little bit, too. That Ohio has this wonderful tradition of mispronouncing the names of their towns as a way of smoking out foreigners. I think it's all just...
Like we have Nevada, not very
Nevada
far from here.
Nevada or Lima or Genoa.
Chansey instead of Chauncey.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and it's clearly just... just to be able to identify the outsider.
Yeah.
And you make that mistake once. You call it Lima once. Yeah.
Yeah, you won't be invited back.
That's right.
Well, what we're going to do is at some point in the next 25 minutes, I'm going to say call now. Okay? You all know what our phone number is, but I'll give it to you a couple more times. 740-383-9944. Don't call now or you won't get the tickets. I'll tell you when to call. I'll give you the phone number a couple more times before we get there. So it'll be at least 10 minutes before we get to the giveaway. But I'm really happy for you. I think this will be fun for you.
I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I've been very lucky to have made my living in a variety of industries, but
sure
for
have.
Me, it's all the same talent. It's all storytelling, whether it's politics or entertainment or writing television shows. And there's nothing I love more than actually doing it live on stage, and especially in a nice theater. It's very seldom that we get to do something like that, you know? I'm really looking forward to it. Right now, we have it planned. We're definitely going to do one May, June, and July.
Uh-huh.
We have comics booked, and the hope then is to continue it and do it once a month there, and then also bring it to some of the other historic theaters around Ohio.
So everybody in Marion, get ready and start bugging him about coming to Marion.
Right, the people out at the Palace or any of those. We have these great theaters here. And I think people who grew up in Ohio, I think they think that's normal, that every city has a Holland Theater. No, they don't. Maybe big cities, New York, Chicago, San Francisco do, but not small towns like Bellefontaine or Marion to have the Palace Theater.
Sometimes if you're in a college town, you'll have a really nice theater, but not in just plain
Well,
towns.
And what's happened in many parts of the country is that was just too valuable real estate.
Yeah.
So it's already been turned into a mall or you know, raised in housing. The fact that these small towns had plenty of land for people to build. They didn't have to tear down the theater in order to build something.
I just heard people 18 years old going, "What's a mall?"
I know.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
it's kind of like Amazon, except they each product is in its own brick building.
There you go.
Very wasteful. I don't know what they were thinking.
Oh my. Well, now your format's going to be kind of unusual, right? Because will you just talk over the top of each other, or are you each going to do an individual act?
Oh, no, all of us, everyone will do their act. So
okay.
Three great comics and me, and we also have this really great house band that's also playing that's known around Bellefontaine. So everyone will do their act. And then the last segment of the show is all four of us on stage, just kind of riffing off each other. Part of it came from, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten off stage and hung out in the green room with the comics, and someone says, I wish the audience could see this. Yeah. This is the good stuff.
Well, Scott and I have said that to each other after we've done our show.
Right.
Oh, man, they missed out on the good stuff we were doing off the air.
Right. So that's part of it. And like I say, it will be kind of loosely structured around what our influences were, but if you give four comedians microphones, something will happen. And most likely it will turn into more of us busting each other's chops. And I imagine we'll take, if someone wants a question in the audience, I imagine it's pretty loose. That's kind of the whole point of this.
Is this going to be G-rated or R-rated?
I would say I don't ever put restrictions on the comics, but the comics I hire, I know what they do. I would say
the
worst
Richard
it would
Pryor.
Get would be maybe PG-13.
Okay.
You know, I didn't tell anyone not to use a four-letter word, but yeah. they know that we all know our audiences.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so no, I think it's definitely something you could bring. My 14-year-old daughter's coming with me. She's never seen me perform live.
Oh my, that would be fun.
Yeah, she's seen me on video and stuff, but has never seen me. Yeah.
Now, my wife. Not too long ago, we were talking about, matter of fact, I think we were talking about you coming here today. Mm-hmm. I said, boy, I miss being able to play off of other people.
Yes.
Isn't that, it almost invigorates your soul to be on stage with somebody else that you can... You can get back and forth with.
And that's it. It is a conversation. Even a musician who's just doing their song, that they feed off the crowd, especially in comedy. Because comedy is so much of it is about the response. And I know I'm editing as I go. And if something gets a bigger laugh than I expected, I say, oh.
That's in.
Wow, okay, let's... You know, maybe I can tag that with, you know, they seem to like that, and vice versa. Sometimes you do. I did a show at a theater in Louisiana. It was a great show. It was a friend of mine, and it was going great. And I brought up politics, but only in a really light-handed way, and the crowd just froze up. And I thought, well, that was weird. And then, and I knew it was a conservative audience,
of
but
course,
that doesn't
Louisiana.
Matter to me. I don't, you know, that has never been a problem. But then afterwards, a friend of mine came over and she said, you know, in small town Louisiana, it's rude to talk about politics.
Oh.
So it's not about you being left or right or Democrat or Republican. It's, you know, politics and religion are things you're not supposed to talk about.
It's like back in my day, if you brought up how much money you made.
Right, yes. So there's things like it that you just don't... Now, I have that information not just for that show, but for every show in a small town in Louisiana or in the Deep South. I'll say, oh, yeah, maybe I have to preface that in order for that to work.
Have you ever watched Gaffigan do his...
Oh, Jim Gaffigan?
Gaffigan,
God,
stuff.
Yes.
He grew up... 8 miles from my house.
Okay.
Grew up in
Indiana.
Chesterton, Indiana, which
yes.
is just a few miles
yes.
from Valparaiso, Indiana. And he is one of the cleanest but funniest guys, but somehow or other, he gets a little dirt in there.
See, he has his version of naughty. I opened for Jim many years ago before he was... anyone knew who he was, but he was already doing that. He does that thing where he comments on himself.
Yes.
Real high. Oh, is this guy only going to talk about his kids? You know, he does that thing, which is comments on himself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he has a... He will tiptoe into kind of off-color stuff.
Yeah, a little bit off-color, yeah.
But, which is me too. I don't look to... offend people. I don't want to, you know, upset people. I want them to enjoy the show, but I do want to poke them a little bit.
Yeah,
like I want to be poked.
Be
I want someone to challenge me a little bit when I pay money to go see their show. You know, as long as they keep it funny.
Yeah,
you know, I don't care if I disagree. I'm one of my, in fact, some of the comics on the show are very different political points of view. We don't really talk about them too much on stage, but some of my favorite comedians are people who I disagree with completely. But they're funny.
Yeah.
You know.
Funny is funny.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting that you point out that it's different between stand-up comedians and also musicians. Music is written down, and you've got to play it the way it's written down. You can. Some people, you riff a little bit sometimes, but not very much. But you guys are just pulling it off the seat of your pants sometimes.
Well, it's right. Most of it has been written and done over and over.
Several times.
But yes, it's much more of a give and take. And in fact, do you remember a comedian named Pete Barbuti?
No, I can't
say. You would know him if you saw him. He had like this page boy haircut. Played the accordion. Also played the piano. Used to be on Mike Douglas and those shows a lot.
I can't imagine he was funny if he played the accordion.
Yeah,
but okay.
Well, he was hilarious. But Pete used to do a thing where if the audience was tight and not giving him anything, he would just sit down and play the piano for 20 minutes.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I'm not even going to try it.
I'm getting paid. I'll
but
do
it's
something.
Like, I don't need give and take for piano. I need that for the comedy. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give our listeners about... I will give you a high sign. I will say call. And I'm going to give you about 3 minutes before I do that. And the first person in is going to get these tickets. But you got to be able to go tomorrow. It's
tomorrow
at 7:30, right?
7:30, the Holland Theater in Bellefontaine, which is, what, probably about a half hour from here?
I think it's closer to 45,
okay.
But somewhere in that range. Yeah, yeah. All right, call. All right, you know the number, 740-383-9944. Now, this is going to be really embarrassing if nobody calls in. and that might happen, too, because there are a lot of people that can't get ready to go overnight. If they can't get ready to go overnight and we don't get any callers, Carol and Glenn will be going.
Good. Yes, yes. We'd love to see you. And like I said, we are also doing these shows. There's a show on first Friday in June and then the Friday after 4th of July in July. So
we just lost the first caller.
Oh, no. Something get dropped?
Yeah, apparently. Call back if you just called and I didn't pick the phone up. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, 7:30. Now, you're doing one in June and July?
Yes.
Is it the same theater, though, right?
Same theater, Holland Theater, a different lineup of comics, but, you know, it's I'll be hosting and the band will be there, but we have a different lineup of comics. And each week, the lineup is kind of curated to get a good mix that contrasts from each other, different styles, which just gives us more to play with.
Okay, cool. Well, apparently I killed my phone. But if you called in and I accidentally shut you off, call back. Or we'll do it again next hour if we don't have anybody that's able to get free tomorrow night. It's a little short notice, but usually we get several dozen callers on these things. But right now... we didn't give them very much time. Also, we're going to give away some tickets for the other shows. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll give you a little bit more time.
As we get closer,
yeah. I'm sorry about that, folks. Anyway, you're listening to Mike Larson, and we're on the air, and hopefully you're still listening. Mike and I, we're going to talk a little bit about politics, because if there's anybody that knows anything about politics, Mike knows a lot about politics. He is one of the notes that I have about him that I always tell people is he was, I don't know what your position with Jackie was.
I was her communications director.
Jackie Speier.
Yeah, Jackie Speier.
And not with the NIS.
Congresswoman from California.
Still there and still fighting hard.
Yes,
yeah,
she is.
And what a joy to listen. I love listening to her. She's very controversial. I mean,
well, Jackie is, and part of this comes from her own background where she had, you know, was shot 6 times and left for dead in Jonestown, Guyana when she was there as a member of a congressional staff.
Kind of reminds us all of Gabby.
Right, and you kind of come out of there with, who the hell am I pulling punches for anymore?
Yeah.
You know, I should have been dead 30 years ago, and I'm not. And so,
when she shot like 6 or 7 times?
And still has a bullet in her body, and you know, that they couldn't remove. The fact that she even lived was amazing. But yeah, she has this. But what's great is that I have picked it up, and I think anyone who's ever worked with her has picked it up from her too. Is that, you know, we're not. it doesn't matter if you're perfectly healthy. You know, tomorrow isn't promised. So if you're going to do something, do it now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear what your plans are. Do it.
Come and tell my wife that, please. I'd like to buy an RV now.
Oh. Yeah.
We've been... Yeah, you know how it is with wives. You have a beautiful wife you don't deserve, and I do too. And I have to tiptoe around that buying in an RV.
So you want to buy an RV, like a full size RV?
The name of the RV that I like is Rialta, and it's like a large van.
Yeah,
but it's fully contained, and you can do your business in it.
Yeah,
and you can cook in it. You can do everything in it. I'd like, because I have kids that live in North Carolina.
Right.
I have kids that live in Worthington, south of here, and then I have kids that live in California.
Right.
We don't get to see those kids.
Right.
And now
that
COVID's letting up,
yeah,
we might get to go out and see them. Matter of fact, I got to go see my 17-year-old daughter run track yesterday.
Oh, great.
Two nights ago.
Great.
First time we've seen our grandkids in a year.
Oh, that's great. What's her event in track?
She's 800 and 1600.
Oh, wow. Great.
Her dad was a very fine 800 runner at OU.
Okay.
Elise is a not so fine runner.
Uh-huh.
But she likes doing it,
good,
and she looks good
doing
it.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of RVs, I rented one last summer. My daughter and I rented one to drive to Missouri to see my grown daughter and her grandkids. And it was fun, but boy, that first time driving an RV,
yeah,
that's scary. You get between the trucks or the big wind comes, and
that's why I want to go with this Rialta, because it drives like I've driven one. It drives just like a van.
Okay,
because it's pretty small.
Uh-huh.
And when we had a trailer, which I just got rid of.
Oh, okay. Well, that's much harder.
Yeah, that pushes you all over the place when you go by a truck. So
yeah.
Anyway. There's probably a lot of comedy to be had in trailering.
Sure. What was the Lucille Ball movie? Was it the world's longest trailer or something?
What was it?
It was like a giant. Yeah.
Well, Lucille Ball could make most anything funny.
Yes.
Since we mentioned that, who was your favorite comedian growing up?
Well, growing up as like a little kid,
yeah,
my idols were Lucille Ball and Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, of course.
You know, but it was just from their sitcoms.
Yeah, on
you
TV.
Know.
Yeah.
All through junior high, grade school, my dad, who was a salesman, so he was home very often in the afternoon, was always watching the afternoon shows like Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas, and that's really where I got to know comedians. You know, and it was the old timers that we talked before about Jimmy Durante or Toady Fields, but also, you know, old timers now who were young then. You know, Jay Leno, George Carlin, all those people were coming on as young comics. And I remember as a young kid not being able to wrap my head around where did these jokes come from? Clearly they don't just make these up, you know, but it was just fascinated by. And I just absorbed every comedy album. My dad had Bob Newhart.
Newhart, and, yeah, some great comedy.
Alan King.
Yep.
And you know, Cosby, and all these great comedy albums that I grew up with.
Being a musician, well, I'm not anymore, but when I was, I had the same problem of wrapping my head around how do people find the music that they write down.
Right.
And the people that I knew would play basically cover music.
Sure.
Know? We played the Kingston Trio stuff, and we played we played folk music.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of had a talent to being able to find the blend in it.
Okay.
And being able to add a third or a fourth voice into it. And then I started thinking, well, if I can do that, surely I can write a song. Surely I could not.
Right.
I was terrible at it.
Well, you know, like I always tell, you know, writers who want to write like a movie or something, and they ask for advice, and I said, allow yourself to suck at it. That's the best advice I can give you. It's not going to be good what you finish with, But it'll be good for you.
Yeah.
And the next one's going to be better and better and better. Everyone is going to get better. And every time you get notes, as much as you hate getting notes, the thing, the version after that is going to be better.
Yeah.
So just know that it's always better.
It just keeps
working.
But
you've got, you got to, again, come down to just do it. Don't tell me you want to do it.
Well, now I'm fairly good with making impromptu jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I've found that probably 40 or 25% of the jokes that I think are hilarious in my head are absolute bombs.
Uh-huh.
But I keep telling them. And my wife just rolls her eyes.
Right.
And but I have gotten better as a public speaker because I've been able to flub up.
Well, but a loss comes from, I mean, you are people, the instant they meet you, they will know that you are a guy with a sense of humor. You know, I mean, you
I
give
so.
Off, you're a happy guy, you know. And
some people think ignorant, but okay.
Well, you know, and we know what makes us laugh. And so even, like, I'll do a joke sometimes on stage that gets nothing. But if it's a good joke, I don't know, that's a good joke.
How do you react to that if you get...
It makes me laugh, especially if I think... You know, sometimes it's a new thing that doesn't work, and I'll already in my head have it up on the lift trying to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I shouldn't have used that word or that word, and, you know, whatever.
You don't really sit there and while you're thinking jokes and think of the timing, do you? Doesn't that have
to flow? No, you can, that's just natural. You have timing or you don't. I mean, and it gets better over time. You learn. And there are times, for instance, you know, you might tell a story that has 7 or 8 laugh lines in it, you know. And so the first one, you get a laugh and you expect a small laugh and then you're going to build. And now how do you build is the part that you just have to know how to do, the timing. You know, do I let this laugh die all the way down and then get them again, or do I ride the laugh? Do I wait till it starts to wane? Or
sometimes it's funnier just to jump on it, right?
And a lot depends. If it's the end of the show, then just boom, 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 and leave the stage with a big ovation. I mean, that's, you know, depending on where you are. But sometimes, for instance, I like to tell some long stories sometimes in my act. So I always make a point of doing something early on where the audience has to wait for the punchline to get them used to that.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes you're going to have to wait, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
You'll see. I got a good punchline coming up. Trust me. Yeah. But that's all. And it comes just with different styles, too, you know.
Apparently my phone isn't working right.
Oh, yeah.
I just got another one that just went dead. So I'm going to, in our break, I'm going to have to check my phone and see what's going on. We will have a break here in about 4 minutes. And in the next 45 minutes, we will try to give away a pair of tickets to... give us the time. We can't really sell anything.
Right. So it's called the Roots Comedy Ramble. It's at the Holland Theater in Bellefontaine, Ohio, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous theater. It's worth it just to see the theater. But anyway, you can check it. They have a website.
Yeah.
They also, their Facebook page is probably easy. It's just the Holland Theater, spelled like the country, H-O-L-L-A-N-E.
You get any information about the
show.
Go
to the Facebook page. They'll hook you up.
Do they have a phone number that people could call if they... You know, there are a lot of people that we have that are uncomfortable with using Facebook. Is there a phone number? Do you know what the phone number is?
I don't offhand, but I will in our next segment.
Okay,
I'm going to look it up here. I'm
And it's called the Holland Theater?
The Holland Theater.
Has anybody ever told you why it's called the Holland Theater?
Well, it was... the guy who built it was...
Mr. Holland.
Was from the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted to bring his culture to, and so they built this theater, and like I said at the beginning, it has windmills going on. I joked yesterday actually on a radio interview that it's like living inside a miniature golf hole. You know, it's got all this stuff going on inside the theater, and it's amazing. I don't know how people paid attention to movies in there with everything else going on.
Does it have an organ still in it?
No.
I bet it did
a
long time.
I bet they did it one time, yeah.
That's the way those old theaters work. Well, we got about 2 minutes, so if anybody wants to call in and get those tickets, I hope I haven't messed the phone up, but I've gotten two calls that died on me, so you can call us at 740-383-9944. Now, if you want to wait until we're through the next 15-minute break at news and stuff, that number is 740-383-9944. I'm getting you warmed up for our swap shop, which after Mike leaves the second period, we go into swap shop, and our swap shop has been picking up because of COVID going away a little bit. So,
and do people actually call and trade?
Yeah, people
goods?
Call in, and like last week we had a lady that had something I really wanted. Now I can't remember what it was, but and there was a lady that had a one of those cantilevered umbrella things that you put over your outside, and I really wanted it, and she was selling it for dirt cheap, and I went home and told my wife, I'm going to call this number. And she said, no, you're not. Okay, dear.
Well, that's your problem. Haven't you ever heard that it's easier to get forgiveness and permission?
Yeah, and there are certain things, like I keep thinking, maybe I'll just go out and buy that RV and bring it home.
Right, yes.
But I probably can't.
No, it's
you got to get a loan for those things. Anyway, okay, we're down to our last 20 seconds, so we're talking with Mike Larson. We'll talk with him again in the next 45 minutes, and I hope you're learning something. Don't forget, they're doing a show at the Holland Theater
in Belfont.
And it's going to be tomorrow night at 7:30.
Yep.
Now, I can't ask you to, we can't tell you how much it costs or anything because we're low
you're
power.
You're listening to WWGH.
We'll be right back.
LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what? You know what? What I'm impressed by. You think I would know this? How you have all this audio?
Oh, you're impressed by this?
Well, what do? Just tape it? Tape the shows as they go? But you're going back 10 years now, or maybe longer in certain cases.
Charles, when you were on, I made sure to tape it.
Wow, isn't that something? Where are you from originally?
I'm right here in Ohio.